Like to welcome you to tonight's December 4th, 2017 City Council Workshop. Would you all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing and wisdom on our decisions tonight. And now if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. Item 1D on our agenda is the roll call. We have all members of the council is here tonight except for Council Member Eugene Bain. And I believe he had asked me last week, which was, he was at a training on the coast. So I'd entertain a motion tonight to excuse Eugene Bain from tonight's proceedings.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Item 1E is citizen input. That's where any citizen has the opportunity to address the City Council with any issue that they would like. And you have up to 5 minutes to address the council. Please raise your hand if you want to address the council. Yes, Rob Simmons. Do you want to step to the microphone?
All right, so first of all, my name is Rob Simmons. My address is 455 South 18th Avenue.
Okay.
First of all, thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council, for giving me an opportunity to give some input. I apologize, I'm not prepared for this because about 2 hours ago when I was like, oh, that's right, that's the night that the council will be having a workshop. I guess I kind of am here to represent maybe the businesses on Main Street, maybe just businesses between Broadway and 4th Avenue, but just wanted to make a request regarding snow removal. First off, I appreciate the job that our city does with snow removal, and I think it's they do a good job. One of the things that's difficult at my business, because I have 25 feet of city street, I guess it's kind of mine to take care of when it comes to snow. You know, we push the snow off, and then of course through the snow removal that we do, it ends up back on the sidewalk, which in my business, the difficult thing is that, you know, I've got Medicare patients that they have to be able to get from the curb over to my, you know, I have probably three parking spots, and they have to get onto the sidewalk, and we take good care of the sidewalk, but like last year, a lot of times it gets difficult to know where do I even put that snow. And I apologize for coming in late. I should have done this in the summertime, right, to really give you guys a heads up. But maybe just think about possibly having an alternative to push it to the center of the street. I understand that that's the way the city used to do it. But as long as I've been here, it has been pushed to the side. And I'm sure there's good reasons for that. But just a request to maybe look at that. When it comes to my house, I feel like I have a yard. I can push all that extra snow into my yard, and that's no big deal. But I just don't know where to put it when it's at my office. And to pay someone $100 to clean off 25 feet of sidewalk doesn't make much sense to me. And I guess that's pretty much what my request is. And so if anyone has any questions for me, that's great. If not, that was really all I wanted to say.
Council?
So you're strictly reliant on the on-street parking. You don't have any other parking?
Yeah, and my thoughts are everything between Broadway and 4th, mm-hmm. That's the case. There's one exception over there with that parking lot that CBHA has, or the old CBHA. But yeah, it's just in that area. Sometimes it's just like a fight, right? I just clean it off and it's back. And I know that's the nature of it. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to handle. I don't mind taking care of all the snow that God put on my sidewalk, but I feel like I take care of all the snow from the center of the street to my sidewalk as well. And so sometimes it's a little bit of a burden for us. Hopefully this year is not an issue.
Would be maybe from 4th down to Main right there in that area right there, if that's a possibility of for conversation, that could be shoved to the middle and the rest is just like they've been doing it.
I think those businesses in that area are the only ones that are strictly reliant on street parking.
Yes.
I think everybody else pretty much has.
Them and First Avenue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Terry, do you have any comment?
Yeah. I don't know if it's any good.
If you shove it to the center of the street and it melts, you're gonna have sheet ice across Main Street, and then you're gonna have to add more salt. It'll freeze every night. Thaw, freeze, and it'll continue. So it will be slick from 4th to whatever on both sides of the street, clear across. We can try anything to push it to that center of the street.
How about if we pick it up and put it in the vacant lot?
Say that again, John.
How about if we pick it up and put it in the vacant lot?
Good. Backhoe.
Yeah. You know, when we go out there to plow and, you know, push it ahead, get it to the intersection, and then just pick it up and put it in that vacant lot right there.
What vacant lot are you talking about?
The one right up above CBHA's parking lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
That way we got that whole section of Main Street covered. There's a lot of people that park on the opposite side of the street too, and cross the street there because they either work at the tire shop or they visit the businesses that are there. So I think we should have access. Try to come up with a plan, Terry. Maybe.
Yeah. Does anybody else have any comments? Okay. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm. Any other citizens here tonight who would like to give input to the city council? All right. Hearing none, we'll move to item 2, which is the approval of our agenda tonight. I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda. Second. We have a motion made and seconded to approve our agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Let's move now to item 3, our current business. And tonight, we have a few awards and recognition. And so we're going to start, and I'd like to call up our city employee, Bonnie Valdez. Bonnie? And her husband, Fred, is going to take pictures, I think. I see Bonnie every day when I come in, so this is really special for me. This is an award for 15 years of service to the city of Othello, and so I'm going to take a few moments to honor Bonnie Valdez. She's been with the city for, like I said, 15 years, and this is a huge accomplishment, and we appreciate her service to the city. Bonnie started with the city on December 9th, 2002, and she started at the front counter with general office duties, accounts payable, and filling in wherever the city clerk needed her. After 2 years, she was promoted to the utility billing position that she currently holds. In this position, she oversees the water, sewer, and garbage utility billing of the city. Anytime anybody's had any issue with their water and sewer bill, you've talked to Bonnie in the last 13 years. Now, shortly after she started as the new utility builder, she helped the city through an upgrade to the water meter readers. This entailed upgrading our internal system to include each of the city's utility accounts and working with Public Works new meter reading services. This was a huge transition for the city, and she's helped the city through many upgrades since then. Bonnie is the undisputed guru when it comes to utility billing. Whenever someone has a question, they go to Bonnie. She is a wealth of knowledge to this city. She is also fair and objective when it comes to representing both the city and the citizens. And that is no small task. She has proven time and time again to be an integral part of our team here at the city. So on behalf of myself, the city council, the city staff, and most importantly, the citizens of Othello, I want to thank you, Bonnie Valdez, for your dedicated service to the city and to its citizens. And I'd like to present you with this plaque of 15 years of service presented to Bonnie Valdez in appreciation for your dedicated support to the citizens of Othello from 2002 to 2017. Thank you. Yeah, I'm already being corrected here. So here you go, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Okay, and I also have a lapel pin with the city's logo that I'd like to present you as well.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And now, we have some community service awards. And the first one, I'd like to call up Pam Dodge. These are volunteer awards. And as the mayor, I get the pleasure to recognize citizens of our community who have volunteered their time to make our city a better place. And so I'm going to say a few words about Pam. Pam has been actively a part of the beautification committee for many years. She currently also volunteers at the fair during fair season. Imagine that, knowing who her parents are. Lions Club, and she also helps in the Greater Chamber of Commerce with their nativity display in Pioneer Park. Pam dedicates a lot of her time also to the senior center and the seniors in the city of Othello. Pam volunteers at the Best Hampton Cemetery with putting up and bringing down the flags for Memorial Day, and also removes any decorations from the graves to help with the mowing. It has been said that Pam is a very giving soul and goes out of her way to help those in need with providing food in and out of the senior center. She provides rides to seniors for errands or doctor appointments, and even finding or buying medical equipment for people in need. Pam is very dedicated to providing service, and especially to her family and friends. And I am honored tonight, on behalf of the City of Othello and the City Council, to present this Community Service Award to Pam Dodge for providing outstanding volunteerism to the City of Othello, signed by Mayor Sean Logan on December 4th, 2017. Pam, I want to congratulate you. And thank you for your support. Okay, you can say a few words if you like.
Thank you for my friends and family and for everything to put on this for you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot. I have a lapel pin for you too. There you go. Our next volunteer, I would like to call forward Marie Lotz. Thank you, Marie. Marie, I've known for many years, and she has been an active part of the Sandhill Crane Festival committee for many years. And she also is a current member of the Washington Soil Health Committee, and she is a lifelong resident of Othello. And she continually does an excellent job with that Sandhill Crane. We're very appreciative of all the work that she's done. I remember when she first started, she said, "This is a lot of work," and it hasn't changed, has it? And yet she really helps with that festival every year. And I am pleased as the Mayor of Othello to present to Marie Lotz a City of Othello Community Service Award to Marie Lotz for providing outstanding volunteerism to the City of Othello, signed by Mayor Sean Logan on December 4th, 2017.
Thank you.
Appreciate You're welcome. You want to say anything?
I'd just like to say that when I started with the festival, I didn't realize how important it is to give back to your community. And by volunteering and making sure the festival happens every year is very important to me. New blood is important to me too, so if anybody wants to volunteer, we're always looking. But it's been a pleasure over the years to work with all the volunteers, the community. Over 400 volunteers come the day of the festival. The school district, the city, everybody helps out. Couldn't do it without everybody, that's for sure. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Marie.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
My next award, I'd like to call forward Danae Valdez. Thank you, Danae. I've known Danae and worked with Danae on many projects. And this is the year Dene is going to be recognized with this Community Service Award for her volunteerism. Dene has been a part of the Othello Food Bank Committee for a few years. She's worked and dedicated her time to help make sure that people are fed in this community. She's a part of Relay for Life for the Columbia Bank, Othello PTA, and the Greater Chamber of Commerce she's been involved in. As you can see, you know, being in the food bank, the PTA, Relay for Life, she cares about people, Chamber of Commerce. And she does that while she has three younger children here as a mom. And she also currently volunteers at the fair during the season, the old hotel during events like the annual auction, and she's also been a coach for Little League. And I couldn't think of someone who better deserves an award for all of her volunteerism and community service. And as Marie said, we need new blood. And a lot of that new blood, I was there when Dene first got involved in her community service. And I couldn't be more proud of her and her accomplishments and her dedication to this community and its people. So I present this Community Service Award to Dene Valdez for providing outstanding volunteerism to the City of Othello, signed by Mayor Sean Logan on December 4th, 2017. Thank you, Dene. There's a lapel pin. And if you have a few words.
I think that we all have our own reasons for why we give back individually, but my motivation are those three making a ruckus in the room right now. I just wanted to show them we give back and have a concern for others and give back to your community where we can. So that's what I'm doing. Hopefully one day they'll be an adult and be the new volunteers in this community. So new blood at that, hopefully one day.
Thank you, Dene. Mm-hmm. Very good. I had another award for Chris Bonwart, but she couldn't make it tonight. So I'll present that award at our next Monday City Council meeting. But at this time, I'd like to call forward Maria Quesada. Thank you, Maria. Maria and I have been involved in many projects together, and I have been amazed at the different ideas that she comes up with and how she continually is, I don't know how else to describe her. She's just a blessing in every community event that she works on. And so she brings ideas, she brings enthusiasm, she teases the daylights out of everybody, and she just makes it fun to be a part of a group. And so I want to say a few words about her besides her teasing. Maria has been a part of the Othello Food Bank Committee for a few years as well. She's also a part of the board at Columbia Basin Health Association. She's been a part of the Beautification Committee and the Greater Othello Chamber of Commerce. She currently also volunteers at the Lions Club, at the fair during the fair season, and Old Hotel during events like the annual auction. And she has volunteered for Little League as well. Maria is also currently serving her third term as part of the City of Othello Independent Salary Commission Committee. She also lends her time at the Sacred Heart Catholic Church. She does this and works full-time as the branch manager at the Othello Columbia Bank. And she also is a mom of two children. So she is that new blood that Maria is talking about that serves in this community, and that I'm really honored to present you with this award as a Community Service Award to Maria Quesada for providing outstanding volunteerism to the City of Othello, signed by Mayor Sean Logan on December 4th, 2017. Yes.
You know, volunteering, it was so overwhelming to see that my generation wasn't part of
any of the groups volunteering and doing it for our community. Knowing that this is a community I want to raise my kids in, I want to know what's going on. I want to know what is in store for them, what they can look forward to, and our community has so much to offer that I could not be part of everything that we do. So I appreciate the opportunities and the groups that have allowed me to be part of their board or to be part of their events and look forward to growing with this community.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
So now as we continue on in our agenda, actually I'll wait a moment. If some of you want to leave, that's fine. Okay, so we'll move to item 3C on our agenda, which is underground utilities. And we have some information from our Community Development Director, Ann Henning.
So last week, a week ago, based on the discussion, I was planning to bring you some examples of other cities and what they do, but in researching what is being done, I found out there's a lot of legal issues. And so I just wanted to give you kind of an update of why we're not moving forward at this time. I did talk to the city attorney today. He says he's done research on this issue in the past, and so he can refresh himself on current state of the law, but it just would not be a good time to move forward with making changes without some legal advice. So that's my update. Does anyone have any questions?
So you don't want to go into the informational issues that you presented in the agenda item?
Not really. I mean, I was trying to give you a few of the points of why we don't want to make decisions quickly here. We want to take some time, make sure we get it right.
Yeah.
So, John had approached the council last meeting.
I'm not worried about getting anything settled for us right now.
We're okay.
We're okay there.
Okay.
But I am concerned about getting something done with regard to the ordinance. And in reading your informational, agenda item, it looks like there's concerns with the legality of our ordinance as it stands today.
Yes, and based on our ordinance being very similar to Moses Lake's ordinance, and Moses Lake did an emergency repeal of their ordinance, and that they had something, a specific issue going on there, but
I think. But moving forward, looking at in the future of dealing with this ordinance and what we might need to do is find something in the middle where we can still maintain some control over what's being done, but not restricting the growth.
Yeah, I agree.
It's important that we still maintain control, you know, and don't let it go crazy. Because that is a concern, but it is the way the ordinance reads, it is not a threat to life and the well-being of the community to have, you know, communication wires on telephone poles, power poles. So I think there's got to be some sort of a middle point that we can get to with our ordinance, that we're not liable for lawsuits, and we're lucky, probably lucky, that it hasn't been undertaken already.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks, Ann, very much for finding out this information, and I think moving forward we need to do some thinking about this. I don't know what committee that it needs to go through, or does it even need to go through a committee, Sean?
I think
we form a committee at one point and have to deal with those issues.
What did we?
Yeah, I think John and Corey and I were on there.
Mm-hmm. I think once Kelly comes up with some recommendations, I think that would be a good. And then after you've met with, it'd probably have to be a late Monday afternoon meeting when Kelly is here. Or it could possibly be a telephone conference. Mm-hmm. And and then you guys could give a report to the committee, and then we could, or to the rest of the council, and then we could take action from there. Okay?
Okay. And I guess Kelly did ask if you have any guidance you want to give him on what kind of things you want to see. I did hear what John was saying about maintaining some control.
Yeah. So, and from the meeting that we had several years ago with all the communication people and Avista being part of it, we issue a permit for Avista to put poles in our right-of-way. Avista's supposed to maintain, and actually they're granting the permit to the others that attach to their poles. And either we need to make sure that Avista maintains that control and does it to our standards, or we take over that control.
I think that's what Corey's issue has been, is that that hasn't been done.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Thank you.
One thing I was noticing, just curiously, when you drive down the new 14th Avenue, you know, everything else is underground, except for the lighting that the Vista's put up, and the power is run from pole to pole. From the poles, which kind of looks weird. Just trying to figure out, what's that wire for? Well, it's for the lights going down 14th. So, I mean, here we got a brand new construction, brand new roadway, and that's how we wired light to light, was across the poles. And they're only light poles, they're not power poles.
Yeah, I think remember they came to council?
We approved a variance for the power going in.
Wasn't that to
not
move the post?
Not for the lighting.
That was for the post to be moved to the site.
But we,
and for the lighting, for we
not for the lighting, for the power supply.
It was to allow them to run power overhead.
Yeah.
Just the power
instead of underground.
But if you're going to allow power to go overhead, well, that's, you're going to allow them to put a light on there. You're not going to go underground.
This ordinance.
You know, so it's a given.
But it's power.
That's why they did it.
It's power strictly to the lighting, and it's on both sides of the road.
No, I see that.
I'm just bringing that up.
It's good we bring that up, because new developments should have everything underground. And then you got your deal going on with McCain's. You know, there should be some kind of an exception there, because, you know, if you start digging there, that plant's been there for, what, 50 years?
Yeah, long enough.
I mean, you can go get locates on it. You're not going to get everything down to a T. So that's going to be a...
Well, the problem is, too, and I didn't want to get into our problem, but the problem is that the junction box that we have to attach to is in the middle of the two poles, so what do I do to get the power down? If I can't overlatch it, Simplot currently runs overlatched for 200 feet to the next pole and comes down the pole. And if I can't overlatch to that pole, then I can't come down. Otherwise, I'm going to have to put a pole in on our property, which is right next to the railroad tracks, which interferes with the railroad that we own. So there's really no location to come off of that junction box and go down the ground. So, but anyway, we'll get that resolved after we've gotten an ordinance put together.
And I think that discussion with legal.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Ann. Excuse me. We'll move to item D, 3D, which is the Othello School District Bond Levy Resolution Presentation. And we have with us Superintendent Chris, Dr. Chris Hurst and Dr. Brian
Boda.
Boda.
I'd like to say good evening, Mr. Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, and all the council men, women. It's a pleasure to be here this evening. We're very excited, being at Othello School District, about the vision. And we're coming just asking all of you to consider supporting OSD through a bond resolution. We do have a presentation. I'm not sure if every one of you have heard the presentation, but there's specific things that's going to happen February the 13th, 2018, that's going to be on the ballot for our bond for Othello School District. And we'd like to just take a moment to just share that presentation with you. And then just asking the city for them to consider supporting us in this bond resolution. We did provide a sample of the bond resolution for consideration. And what we'd like to do is just start with the next slide, which really talks about our growth. I've heard projections for 2035 for the city of Othello that we will be as large as Moses Lake. And I do know that we are growing. I've been here for about a year and a half, and I feel the growth and I see the growth. You can see it in our schools. As you look at this chart here, look at the third column, the I-1351 stands for Initiative 1351, which is passed by our state legislators 2014, which really reduces class size, depending upon the capacity or number of classrooms in a building. So when you look at, say, for instance, Lulacaga, Initiative 1351 says that school, based on the number of classrooms, should only hold 486 students. We currently have more than 580 students there, which means that we are over capacity at that school site. But not just at that school site, just about every school site, with the exception of Desert Oasis. That's unique because it is an alternative setting. It will be over capacity as we move students from Othello High School to Desert Oasis. The places where you can feel it, mostly when you go into our middle school, McFarland, it's crowded. You walk around the hallways, you go through passing periods, go sit down, have lunch with them, go to their assemblies. Same thing at the high schools. It is crowded. It is very crowded and congested. We have portables that are being placed on our asphalt there. That will continue in our district until we really look at this as a district and as a community. What do we do with overcrowding? What I've been sharing with everyone, our current reality is we're 118% capacity, which means we're about 18% over capacity or overcrowded. So that's one of the things I wanted to share with the council and the mayor just right off the start. So we are growing as a city. We are growing as a school district. It is a good issue, but we just have to resolve, you know, what do we do with the overcrowding? Going to the next slide. What's really exciting is me coming in as a superintendent, being part of the community and having a number of conversations. And if any of you have been part of those conversations, I started right when I hit the ground at McFarland Middle School, and I started inviting all the community members that could come out to McFarland. And for me, it's not just relegated to the school district. It's a community conversation. It's about our kids, it's about our community. So we engage in the conversation about the property that we purchased off of Lee Road, 81 acres. And I asked the community to imagine the possibilities. What could we build on that land, on that property? And there were several series of meetings, and what I shared was a lot of research, but I really did a lot of listening. And I asked the community members, what would you like to put on that property? We even had community members draw their own little drawing. We came back to the drawing board. When you go to the next slide, you can see that the community shared with myself and my team, my executive team, that as you're thinking about a proposal to propose to your board of directors for Othello School District, this is what we would like you to consider. Five things. I'm going to jump to number three first, because one of the things, once George Juarez was here, there was conversations about potentially building a brand new high school on that property. We sat down with our financial advisor, we sat down with architects, we looked at the probability of doing that project, and it was an expensive project, close to $100 million for the brand new high school, and then taking currently the Othello High School and making it a middle school. So a big price tag on that project. So we had to let that go because of our capacity. Our capacity, $42 million. So we could not do that. But we could take the other advice from the community, and we could bring that to the architect and the financial advisor, and to craft something based on what community shared with us. So community said, let's address all single levels of overcrowding right away. Not just middle school, not just high school, but every single level. And they wanted us to start construction immediately. The price tag for the high school, the Brandon High School, was $100 million, and we would not have been able to start that project until 2030, 2031, just because of capacity. We just did not have the financial capacity to do that. So once we shared that information with the community, they said, there's no way we want you to build in 2030. We have an immediate issue. So let's start addressing construction right away, address overcrowding right away, and at every single level. And there was members there at those meetings that said, let's have an auditorium that seats 1,500 students. So that's what's in the proposal. That's what I'm gonna share with you on the next slide. Part of the bond resolution proposal for February 13th will be two schools on the Lee Road property, elementary school, which is K through 5, and a middle school, which is 6 through 8. There'll be some core shared space, and I'll talk about that in a second in the renderings. And then we'll take the current high school.
Will this make a second?
Second
middle school.
Yes, sir.
So you're going to leave McFarland alone and
yes.
Build a new one?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Two middle schools in the district. Then we'll take the current high school, Othello High School, and we'll build capacity, increase capacity from 1,000 to 1,500. So when you add an additional 500 students over a number of years, that means you have to add new classroom space, new gym space. We will need new gym space, because if you think about 500 additional students, the current capacity cannot hold additional 500 students, so we'll need a new gym. And we'll build a new auditorium that seats 1,500 students. I'm going to show you renderings and then just kind of talk a little bit about these are just renderings. Everything could look different from the design phase, which Dr. Oda will talk about. What I ask you to ignore is the complex, the sports complex that's in the background. There was a capital levy committee that was put together by our board of directors. Though that committee said that there was interest in the community to have a sports complex, but because of our capacity, we just could not put the sports complex in our bond for February 13th. So the sports complex is not there, and I will say it ranged from $5 million to right around $18 million, depending upon what we wanted in that sports complex. So what you will see in the February 13th bond resolution proposal is Lee Road property, two schools. On the left, you see a K through 5 elementary school. On the right, you see a 6 through 8 middle school. In the middle, you'll see shared space. So this is a savings of about $5 million, $4 to $5 million for the taxpayers. So when you think about shared space, you're thinking about a common cafeteria, common gymnasium, an auditorium, a smaller auditorium that seats about 400 students. So in the resolution, a smaller auditorium is part of the Lee Road property also. Library, shared space. And again, that would be a savings of about $4 to $5 million for taxpayers. And going to the next slide. So this would be the rendering for the like new expansion of Othello High School. You can see looking south, you can see the south corner, southeast corner, you'll see the Catholic Church.
Sir, do you want to give him the pointer?
So right here, you see a Catholic church. And then here is Juniper. This is the current front entrance, but what we're looking at is a 1,500-seat auditorium, a new classroom, a new common space, built up, brand new gym. Over here to the west, you'll see the new tennis courts that are going in that'll be finished by March, mid-March, because of the weather. But that would be a rendering, and Dr. Boyd is going to talk a little bit about the timeline. And what I will say is, this is just simply a rendering, so there is a design phase that is proposed, and the conversations about what the actual schools and programs will look like will be during that design phase process. And he'll talk about who is involved in that process also.
Thank you, Dr. Hurst. Next slide, please. So this is a two-phase project. The very first phase, provided the bond passes, will begin in 2018 and last through 2019, and that is the construction of the two brand new schools. So you see up here, we have the project timeline, design the elementary school, design the middle school. We have allocated an entire year to work directly with local community members, local interested parties, to design that school. Dr. Hurst mentioned we have a representative rendering, but that is not the final product. Construction would begin on those two new schools in 2019, would last through 2021, and they would be open for occupancy for students in the 2021-22 school year. The second phase of the project is the like-new expansion of Othello High School. Again, we have set aside an entire year, 2019 to 2020, to design that in concert with the public and with local stakeholders. Construction would begin on that project in 2020, last for 3 years, and it would be open to the students of Othello High School and the public, remember, in 2023-24 school year. The cost of this bond, we chose a median assessed home value within the Othello area of $250,000. This is assessed value, not market value. If you are the owner of that home, you would pay an additional $20 per month. Next slide, please.
So what's that in a year?
Well, that's exactly where we're going. So
this breaks, educator, tell me what it is in a year.
It would be $240.
All right, that's $240 added on to the already existing tax base that you pay for schools today in the city of Othello. How much is that?
The local tax rate would rise to, we anticipate, $5.13 per assessed $1,000 value.
So on that average home, how much are you paying for your schools?
Well, it would be
under the bond.
And it would be $5.13 times the assessed value of your home. Or
per $1,000?
Assessed $1,000 value. Correct.
So that's 250 times $5?
Yes.
Plus another $250.
No. That is with the bond added, 513.
So without it, it's currently right now, what is it, 3.5?
No, well, it would be 96 cents less than that. So
96 cents.
Yeah. So the cost of this bond, the local bond, would be 96 cents per assessed $1,000 value. So you can see here, if you look on the far left, the property value, that's, again, assessed value. Gross property tax increase, that would be the total annual increase. So if we look down to the fourth line, $250,000, gross property tax increase, $240 per year additional. Divide that by 12, that gives you $20 per month.
But again, you're only breaking down what the bond's going to cost.
Yes, this is the additional cost.
In the tax base, for a homeowner in Othello, how much do we pay for schools today?
Right now.
How much? And how much do we pay to the local community for schools, and how much do we pay for the state schools? And then we're going to pay another, on an average home, another $240 to $250 on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you looked at your tax?
Yes. Yes. So
what's your home? How much is it worth?
Oh, I prefer not to state here.
Okay. Well,
let's take the average.
Mine's assessed at $185,000.
Okay.
I pay almost $800 in taxes for schools out of a $2,700 tax assessed value annually. $300 or $400 of that's for local, $300 or $400 of that's for state, and now you're talking about putting another $250 onto that?
Yes. If you were $180, you said?
Now I'll be,
so it'll be right between, yes, approximately, yeah.
I'd rather be at 96 cents
$1,000. I'll be at $3,000 tax on my home.
Yes.
And over $1,000 of that $3,000 is going to be going to schools.
Yes. So the, again, and then if you further, just to discuss what's on the right-hand side, if you itemize your taxes under the current tax structure, this is under the current federal tax structure, depending on what tax bracket you would fall into, you can, the cost would come down a little bit if you wrote off some of those taxes. So with the bond, it would go up to $5.13 per assessed 1,000. Currently, it is 513 minus 96 per assessed 1,000.
How much was that again? Five what?
$5.13.
$5.13.
That includes the maintenance and operation levy and everything.
Are you going to need to up the maintenance and operation?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to need another maintenance and operation levy?
No, our current, it will not be on the bond. Our current M&O levy is a two-year levy, and so it will be running through.
But once these schools are built, then you're going to have to up that.
Oh, yeah. Maintenance and operation levies are consistent things, and it's depending on, you know, the size of the school district, the enrollment. Othello is growing considerably. That's not only adults. That is children. And so as our enrollment and our buildings increase, our M&O levies also must increase. Does anyone on the council have questions on anything that Dr. Hurst or I have addressed?
So this tax includes all of the residents within the Othello School District, right?
Yes,
not
sir.
Not just the city of Othello?
That is correct. Yes. The Othello School District extends into Grant County and Franklin County. And if the bond passes, it would be paid by everyone within the district. It is in no way limited to the city of Othello.
And is this tax-based projection based on today's resident count? Homeowner account, or is it based on future development?
So it's based on
as the community grows, as more homes
yes.
come on, you're actually going to be increasing your income to pay off the debt. Is that going to shrink faster? And
yes.
Then
so the larger your tax base.
How long does this bond run for?
It's a 21-year bond. So the larger your tax base, it's shared equally among everyone. So as your tax base grows, the amount of taxes that each individual pays goes down.
So it'll be balanced out at the
It
end
will
of,
shrink, provided yep. our tax base continues to grow. Now, if the tax base were to shrink, then it would, the amount that each of us paid would grow. But that is very unlikely to happen.
So I have a question.
Yes, sir.
On one of your slides here, it says you want to build two new schools on the same campus that has space for 700 students. Right now, you're 650 students over capacity. So that's only going to leave you a growth of 50 students?
So if we don't include the portables, absolutely. You're right. But our projections and talking with David Spencer, This will actually take us to about 2028, it's projected. With the numbers, with the projected growth, with the 700 and with the 500 at the new Othello High School.
Okay, so I have another question. You want $60 million to build one school. Most sites build a school for $38 million. Why are we spending an extra $22
million? It's not to build one school, it's actually to build two and a half. So we are building a brand new elementary school, a brand new middle school, and we are increasing the size of Othello High School by 50%.
Is that going to put the same numbers out as the school that they built?
Sorry?
The school that Moses Lake built, how many students did that for, do you know?
I do not know.
You know, my feeling is it's a tough deal, tough situation. I hate to be on the school. But anyway, everybody, I mean, you're in a position where the city's growing and they bring kids with them. That's too bad, but that's happening. Okay. So it's filling up the school. We're running over, what it seems. And we do need bigger, it's going to cost us a lot of money, but what do? I mean, you're up to the point, do you want to educate the kids, you know, and stuff like that, good education program. Now, the thing that I haven't seen on here yet, the biggest crybabies I've seen is farmers. I'd like to know per acre or what. I'd like to be able to say to them, hey, you know, number one, is your grandkids, would you just rather have a bunch of bad kids, or do you want them educated? Well, I want them educated. Well, you might pay them. Well, that's a different story. So I'd like to really know per acre what it's costing some of these bigger farmers to support this program also. Can they control the vote, the outside people? You see that, the farmers? That's what.
Well, I think the second largest employer in the city of Othello or in this community is the school district. So
I don't know, but as far as farming, Bob can help me there, but when it comes to farm ground, I know that for the 80 acres that I have, if I don't develop them, I think I'm about $2,500 for tax assessed, the whole thing.
For the 80 acres,
it's cheap.
Oh, yeah.
It's cheap. It's not, it's...
Well, that's just kind of...
You're a farmer with 500 acres, it's not huge, put it that way.
I understand that. Yeah.
So you can...
Well, look, I mean, you mentioned the farm ground, I mean, a lot of you buy high ground that makes the bells, but every farm ground out there is only 10 or 15,000 acres. So.
But it's not assessed at that, though. Tax assessed. That's what the cost per acre is.
Yeah, but
because if it'd be assessed at 12 grand at $1.2 million for a circle, they'd be paying a lot of money, which they're not. I'm just basing it off what I paid for that property. But I know I'm next to town and I paid a lot of money for it, but I'm still saying it's still tax assessed as farm ground, and it's not big money. Yeah. So to answer that, I don't think it's a huge, huge hit on farmers.
Okay. I just hear things. I don't understand it enough to say, hey, not that big.
Well, those are maybe some of the things that when you're making a presentation, that you're being informative. You want people to buy into this.
Yeah.
And I've already had questions with regard to how much I'm already paying and how much it's going to increase how much I'm paying. And listen, I didn't have a child that went to school here, and I don't have a child that's going to go to school here. But I live here, and I want to support the community. But at what cost? Now, like in a larger community where there's a lot more people and there's a lot more, you know, a base that you can tax, okay, that makes a difference. There's not a big tax base here, and I know we have the need to get to grow our schools while we grow our community. I'm just I'm kind of in the same boat with Corey. I want to know where all the money's going to go to and what it's going to do for the community and how much is it going to cost per individual that owns a home in the community in addition to what they're already paying for it. See, we pay, as a homeowner, we pay both to the state and to the community for schools, to run those schools, to build to those schools. We do that already. Now you're asking us to accept a greater responsibility and provide a bigger amount out of our own pocket to do that. I just would like to have all the facts.
See, and I kind of see it a little bit different because I'm hearing you. So I do have kids here. I do have grandkids here. One of my sons moving back from Tri-Cities into Othello. I have 11 grandkids going to school here. Maybe some of them will continue to live here. We are growing. There is a need. Education is important. You know, and it comes down to, you know, whatever you're assessed at 96 cents. You know, so if we're going to pay $200, $240 more a year, that's a lot of money for some people, I know. There's people out there that are making $50,000, $50,000 a year. Some that are not even making that. And I understand that. But there is a big need here in Othello. We're overcrowding. And you said it all, our tax base, if we really look at it, you can say, man, we're crazy. This is not going to happen. You know, because the lesser homes there is the more than you and I have to pay. It's just bottom line.
Well, and the better the schools are, the more we're going to increase our growth. And the better the schools are also is going to help with our property values. So there is some offset there to the amount of tax we're paying because the values, if values go up, then...
I don't look at my home as an investment. It's not a way for me to make money. It's a place for me to go to live. I live there.
One thing, John, you can look at it this way. You can, in a way, look at it that way because if the schools grow, people are going to want to come into Othello. So if they want to come into your in the town, your house is valued at $240,000, maybe 2-3 years from now it's going to be valued at $300,000. Why? Because people want to move into town. We have something to offer them.
And you may not be looking at your house as an investment, but someday you may want to move someplace else, and then it does affect.
See, here's part of the problem. You said, how long did you say that these schools are supposed to?
So the projections go out to 2028.
And so that's only five years after they're completed.
Yeah, and talking to the architects, they don't plan any further than 10 years out. So right now it's 2017. When I asked them for projections beyond 2028, they could not give me a projection. So
in 10 years, we're going to be back voting on another bond to build more schools when this bond isn't even paid off. That's all I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a never-ending story. And I understand that with growth, you know, that's a never-ending story. But and part of the problem with, and this is probably not going to be a popular opinion, is we're paying now for bad decisions in the past.
Right.
The schools, I don't believe the schools, when they were constructed or add on to, I don't believe they did it the correct way.
So I could just respond to that. Because I have received that same point that you shared about Lutacaga and maybe even Wajitas also. So that's something that we can talk about as a community during the design phase that we're planning or designing for the future and that we're not building our schools so that they're compacted. One of the things I just want to share also, we can just look at this a little bit differently. I'm part of the community. I'm invested in the community. I'm invested in our kids. I'm invested in the vision. And I do understand that this is an increase. I'm part of the community. I'm here to stay. I'm willing to invest also because I believe in the community. I believe in the vision of not just the school district, but the community also. We are growing. This is for our kids. One of the things I wanted to point out that I just mentalized as I was speaking is this whole concept of the auditorium. When I came here, I spoke about a community center. This could be for use for the city, could be used for the school district. So this is not just for the school district. Imagine having a 1,500-seat capacity facility that could be a gathering place, that could be where we have people come and they're using it for, you name it, for the city and for the district. I see it as an investment in our kids and an investment in the city as we're growing also. And I do understand the point that we're making about the addition. I'm willing as a taxpayer to take that on because I'm here and I believe in my vision for the district. I believe in what we're doing for our kids. And the reality is, if I'm being very honest, we need it. Our kids need it. I invite you to come do a walkthrough with me and just spend any day at McFarland or spend an afternoon at Othello High School. I guarantee you it will give you a reality check about where we are with our kids. I do understand your points. I'm willing to get any information, additional information that you need to talk to farmers or anyone else. But again, this is an investment in our city and it is for our kids. Just wanted to share that different perspective for you.
I have one other thing. The hospital, the schools, and anything in the community, people that are moving into, when they come, they got a family, what's the first thing that they got? They got to have a nice school.
They're looking at the schools.
Then they got to have a good police department for safety. There's two or three things there that people look at. Either the people that are here don't like the situation, so they move to the Tri-Cities because they got, you know.
Schools, police, and shopping.
Yeah, all that good stuff. And, yeah, it's not that they're getting any. But anyway, that was my point there. They look at the school, our safety, and that's good for me.
Yeah,
housing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I guess I participated in those early meetings, and I participated in the meeting when you had over 500 and we broke out into sessions. And I went in because I wanted it. Honestly, I just wanted a new high school, okay? But through the process, I have to applaud the school district. They involved large segment of this community to brainstorm, to gather ideas, to look at the realities that they're facing as a school board. I think you probably said it best. I'm glad I'm not on the school board. Because we are growing. And we are overcrowded. Those aren't going away. In fact, that problem continues every time another baby is born up here at the hospital. And so that isn't going away. But through this process, I like what they've done for the maximum capacity that we currently can, that the school district can bond for. We're going to get a brand new middle school, a brand new elementary. And if you looked at all those where all that overcrowding is, there's a lot of overcrowding in that elementary. But that middle school is also going to help. With the 50% increase in the high school, that's going to help. But Corey, I can tell you, I do like what they did over the 60-year-old Ludicauga and the 75-year-old Hiawatha. I do like what they did the last time. But one of the criticisms of that group when they did that is the same one you just voiced. Well, when you got done, we were already full. And part of the problem, as you can see, it's just like we can't pave all the streets we need paved. We paved a few this year, but we can't pave them all because we don't got the money to do it. So what you do is you have to go back, you have to get citizen buy-in, and then you come up with a plan. This is what the school district has done, and they've involved the entire community to come up with this plan. And so now And it just, you know, as I look at Bob Carlson out here, I remember when the hospital made a huge decision to expand. And that was a scary time, I'm sure, for the hospital board. And Larry was on there at that time. And they made that decision to make this facility so that it could accommodate what this community needed. And you could argue that we only need the minimum, or you could argue that we can do something really good for the community. There's no question, and John is correct, there's always the money aspect of these decisions. And so when you look at it, you can look at it, there's any way you can look at money. And you can look at it, okay, what am I paying now? And then also what's going to be the increase, but what am I paying now? And can I afford that increase? And I think that I would say collectively as a community, I think we can afford the increase because of the benefit that we're doing, because we're going to invest in ourselves. We're going to invest in our today, and we're going to invest in our future. And one of the things that you look at when you're, you know, you can look for the right time to make an investment, or you can say, now's the time, whether we can see our way completely through it or not, because that's part of this whole process, because in a lot of ways, the school district is doing this by faith because they don't have the crystal ball.
Right.
And so every other bond issue that the school district has passed, we've been able to pay off. They've never defaulted in the history of Othello a bond payment. We adopt this one, they still won't default on any bond payments. So with a growing city, with the projections of what the city's going to grow to, this, while it isn't as much as we would like, it's what we can reasonably afford today. And so, yes, you're going to have people that are not going to want this. You're going to have people that are going to oppose it. And hopefully, those are outnumbered 60 to 40 by those who do. So tonight, what they're really asking us is if the city council would adopt a resolution in support of this bond that they're going to, is it in February?
February 13th.
That's going to go to a vote in February. So that's really what they're asking. The council doesn't have to make a decision tonight, but I would like to see us make a decision by next Monday. But if the council doesn't want to make it by Monday, then I anticipate we're going to cancel the rest of our meetings, well, our next meeting, which is Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
No, put it on the meeting for next week.
Do you want to
we
put
can't
it on?
Vote on it tonight anyway. It's
right.
A workshop, so put it on the meeting for next week. Look, it's up to the people. It's
yes.
A vote of the people. So whether
yeah, they
all
want
you're it. Asking us for is permission to put it on the ballot,
yes.
And is. No matter what my objections are personally, as a servant of the community in this position, that's something I'm in favor of. So Monday when we have our next meeting, we'll put it on there for a vote so we can get it done.
You have that.
Okay. So then we'll vote on it at that time, and I'm pretty much sure it's going to unanimously pass. But it's up to the people of the community. You know, and if the people of the community
right.
vote for it, then I guess we're all going to have to, you know.
And just if I could say, Mr. Mayor, we're very interested in hearing your questions. So as you're talking to constituents, you can give a response also. So I think I heard you say just clarity around the total amount of tax.
I think it's fair to the people to know what they already pay for state school support, which goes into a fund that goes back to you, and then also what we pay for the local school systems today. And what you're talking about as an addition to that. I imagine on a $200,000 home that you're paying over $1,200 to $1,300 out of your taxes towards schools.
We do have those numbers, so I will forward them to the executive assistant, so she can forward them to all of you.
Very good.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your time tonight.
Appreciate you guys coming.
Thank you. All right. We'll move to item 3E, the public hearing on the final 2018 budget. I'd like to open this public hearing at 7:42 p.m. and open it to staff for a presentation to the council.
My presentation tonight is very short. This is the second of two public hearings we're required to have on our 2018 city budget. Last week we talked about some of the items that we're adding to our budget. Tonight I would say that we're coming to the end of a long process. We've had a lot of back and forth. We're taking care of the operational needs of the city. And then on the slide, this is the same slide that we've been looking at a couple of nights here. You can see that we're adding a number of new things for this year, some one-time capital things. We're taking care of some infrastructure needs, public safety needs, and some park and rec items for the city. With that, I would turn it back over to you, Mayor.
Okay. Before the council speaks, no. Go ahead, Council. Do you have any questions, Spencer? Sorry, go ahead. No question? Okay. At this time, I'd like to open up for public testimony in three parts. Those in support of this budget, those who are neutral to the proposal, or those in opposition. Is there anyone here tonight who would like to speak in support of this proposed budget? Is there anyone here who is neutral that would like to speak? There's anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to this budget? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing at 7:44 p.m. And we will then be presented with a final budget document. And is it an ordinance or a resolution?
Well, there's a series of ordinances to pass the different parts of the budget.
Mm-hmm. And those will be presented to the council next Monday night. If there is anything that you guys are concerned about, I would encourage you to talk to Spencer. Find out if there's anything that needs to be, you know, further examined or looked at. But barring anything, we've been through a fairly exhaustive process of examining our budget and the different items that are in there.
Whittled it down pretty good.
Yeah, we have. So I want to thank you, Spencer, for all the work that you've done. It's been you always make our budget process seem to go through very smoothly, and we appreciate all your hard work. This is your busiest time of the year. Thank you. All right. Then we'll move to committee reports. Item 4, is there any committee reports tonight for the council? In the future, if any of the committees would like to give a report at the council, just let myself or Becky know, and you're free to give any report on any committee that you're sitting on.
Okay.
Yeah,
we could share that.
Okay. Yeah. Item 5 is unfinished business. Do we have any tonight? Any unfinished business? I always look at Mark. Is there any unfinished business?
How's that street
part? Yeah, that's street part.
Broadway and Maine.
Did you notice that, though?
Did you guys notice that when you drove down 14th, that you have all these poles out there, and they're just light poles?
Yeah.
Now, are those going to be replaced when we get our street lights?
You mean the beautification lights?
Yeah. Because they've got all those, you know, those concrete pads made for the street lights. Yeah, are they going to remove...
Those beautification lights, they look really good, but I don't think they put enough light out.
Well, there's, if you look, Corey, there's one every, like, 50 feet. So there would be, like, a lot of them. I think there was 600 lights that were going to line that street.
And we took them out. I would love to see that. See the light poles sticking out. It had to be just a light. I think that would look awesome.
Yeah. Well, just, you could even get corner lights that match those, if that's the case.
Well, they're not metal poles. They're wood poles, and they've got a cobra coming off of them, and you got the string of the power connection is all overhead. That's what we got right now. And they're set off back from the road.
Okay. Any other unfinished business? Is there any new business? Okay, hearing none, I'll close tonight's meeting at 7:47 p.m.